Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Samach Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 15 lines from the top of Daf Samach Tes. We continue in our analysis of the Mishnah, particularly the argument between Rabbi Akiva and between Rabbi Eliezer and those that opposed him, where Rabbi Eliezer was makil, was lenient with regard to shvusim, isurim derabbanan, that were associated with the offering of the Korban Pesach when the 14th of Pesach fell out on a Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva, following on the heels of Rabbi Yeshua, disagreed with Rabbi Eliezer. And we have a quote in the Gemara, Heshiv Rabbi Akiva, the Omar. Rabbi Akiva responded to Rabbi Eliezer and said, Hazo'o tochiach. Hazo'o is the sprinkling of the red cow, the poraduma water mixed with the poraduma ash and water from a live spring that are sprinkled on people that are tomei mace. And in the event that a person was, let us say, finishing his period of tahara from tumas mace, and the seventh day happened to fall out on a Shabbos, the 14th of Nisan, so Rabbi Akiva said, well, you see that we don't sprinkle on him the water, indicating that something that would be categorized as an Isur Durabonon is Me'akev. In other words, we do not do that. And as a result, the person will not do the Korban Pesach. So we continue now in the Gemara. Heshiv Rabbi Akiva v'omar hazo'a tochiach. Rabbi Akiva responded, let the instance of hazo'a, of the sprinkling, prove that we do not allow Isurim Durabonon to supersede Shabbos, even though it's at the expense, so to speak, of the performance of the Korban Pesach. Tanya, Omar lo Rabbi Eliezer. Akiva, b'shchita hishavtani, b'shchita tehei misoso. Very harsh expression here, but Rabbi Akiva was trying to make the point and saying that you can argue that just like you see that we don't allow hazah to be done, which is a mere iser derabbanan, so and it's not doche Shabbos. So you can argue even to the extent that even shchita should not be doche Shabbos. So Rabbi Eliezer hears this, and he says, are you trying to answer me through the case of Shechita? And he says, well then, and what seems to be a curse then Rabbi Kiva's death should be through Shechita. In fact, quite sadly, that did come to be true, as Rabbi Kiva was one of the famous 10 martyrs that were murdered by the hands of the evil Roman Empire. Omar lo, so Rabbi Akiva responds, Rabbi al tachpireni b'shasadin, don't deny this point in our argument. In other words, don't deny that in fact there is a prohibition of doing the sprinkling of the red cow ash water mixture. B'shasadin means in the course while we are arguing. Don't deny this. Kach mekublani mimcho. In fact, you are the one that taught me. Hazal equals shvusi. The problem of sprinkling is a mere rabbinic restriction. Ve'eino doche as a Shabbos, and it does not supersede Shabbos. So Rabbi Kiva was using information that he received from none other than Rabbi Eliezer himself. The Gemara asks, v'chimeachar dehu agmerei. Well, if that be the case, then my taimo kohodarbe. Then why was Rabbi Eliezer retracting? As you can see in our markings on the side, we have a triangle featured, and the nosei, the topic heading and structural note, are combined into one note where we've written Shnei Hezberim. There's one over here, Ula, and then later Rabbi Eliezer, represent two opinions. two approaches. Ula is one approach, and then there's the number two approach to masbir the vikuach, to explain the argument bein Rabbi Eliezer for Rabbi Kiva binyan hazah, regarding the sprinkling of the por aduma water b'Shabbos Yudalid Nisan. We've also used a double underline to highlight the expression my taima. So at this point we're asking, so why, if Rabbi Eliezer himself taught that hazah is restricted, then why is he trying to retract from that position and argue that hazal should certainly be allowed? Omar Ula. Ula explains, Rabbi Lezer, ki agmere, when Rabbi Lezer originally taught that hazal is forbidden, that's hazal de truma agmere. That has to do with sprinkling on a kohen that was tomei mace in order to enable him to eat truma. That's what he originally taught was usur, as opposed to sprinkling someone to enable them to do the Korban Pesach, that he would not say is forbidden. The Gemara asks, the Gemara explains why is Hazor of Truma Osir? Because the Truma Gufa lo dachya Shabbos, that means to tithe, Truma itself is something that is not Docha Shabbos. We do not practice tithing Truma tithe, removing a section of one's fruits and vegetables for the benefit of the Kohen in the form of a Truma tithe. We don't do that on Shabbos. Well, that's in stark contrast to the slaughtering of the Korban Pesach that falls out on the 14th, where the Erev Pesach comes out on the 14th of Nisan, and it coincides with the Shabbos. We do allow the basic slaughtering to take place. So there's a big difference between the way we approach Truma, where the basic Truma tithing does not take place, as opposed to the basic Shechit of a Korban Pesach does take place on such a Shabbos. And as a result of that, there's room for making a distinction that the Hazor for Truma is not going to be allowed, whereas the Hazor for the Par Aduma will be allowed. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Kiva Nami Ki Osve. Rabbi Kiva, when he responded to Rabbi Eliezer, Hazor de Truma Osve, he was using the case of Hazor of Truma to respond, Shehi Mitzvah, Vehi Mishum Shavus, where, namely, that the purification of a Kohen in order to enable him to eat Truma is categorized as a Mitzvah, and it is nevertheless an Isur de Rabbanan. Vehu Savar, Rabbi Eliezer, who got very upset, thought Hazor de Pesach Komoisiv Lei, that Rabbi Akiva was trying to respond to Rabbi Eliezer from the case, from the instance of Hazor of for the benefit of Korban Pesach, and that is what Rabbi Eliezer was upset with. So that as far as Ula's explanation is concerned, Rabbi Eliezer was not retracting from any position of his. He in fact did teach that Truma, the Hazor for Truma purposes was forbidden. Rabbi Kiva was figuring that that the Hazor of Truma is in fact mitzvah oriented, therefore he could argue from that standpoint. However, as far as some form of inconsistency within Rabbi Eliezer himself, that isn't the case. Mosiv Rabba. Now, Rabba will reject Ula's approach. Heshiv Rabbi Akiva the Omar. Hazoas Tomei Meis Tochiach. Shechal Shvi Shelo Lios B'Shabbos Uve'erev HaPesach. Shehi Mitzvah. Here you have an explicit source where Rabbi Akiva is responding to Rabbi Eliezer explicitly from the example of Hazor for the purpose of Pesach. And that's why we dashed underlined the word HaPesach, where you have something that is Eishvus and it is forbidden. So to suggest, like Ula did, that Rabbi Akiva was responding to Rabbi Eliezer in Hazor for Truma purposes is simply not true. Elovadai Hazor de Pesach Agmere. it must be then that Rabbi Akiva was taught. Agmari means he taught him. Namely, Rabbi Lezer taught Rabbi Akiva Hazah of Pesach is something forbidden. V'chimeachar de Agmari, well, if that be the case, then since he Rabbi Lezer taught that Hazah for Pesach is Aser, my taima koporech le Rabbi Eliezer, then why was Rabbi Eliezer trying to challenge that, trying to question that? The Gemara answers, Rabbi Lezer gamri esakale. Rabbi Lezer he had maybe taken ill at some point and forgot his own teachings. The also Rabbi Akiva ladkuri gamre, and Rabbi Akiva's purpose here in arguing the way he did was to remind Rabbi Eliezer of what he actually taught him. And that's why Rabbi Akiva presented arguments the way he did. The Gemara asks, V'neimo le v'hedya, why doesn't Rabbi Akiva say straight out, how can you try to suggest that Hazah for the purpose of Korban Pesach is mutter when you yourself taught us that it's usher? Why doesn't Rabbi Akiva say it straight out? Sovar, Rabbi Akiva figured, lav orach aro, it's not proper conduct. It's not proper sensitivity. The Hazah, and therefore he tried through we'll call it a logical fashion or through hints to joggle Rabbi Eliezer's memory, but that was not successful. The Gemara asks, V'hazo my time alo dachya Shabbos, why should Hazo not in fact supersede Shabbos? Michti tiltuli ba'almahu, all that is involved is the movement of a flask holding water mixed with ash. Tidchi Shabbos mishum Pesach, let Hazo be done on Shabbos for the sake of enabling someone to do the Korban Pesach. Because if they don't do this, the person remains a Tomei Mace. Omar Rabba, the reason we don't want Hazal to be done on Shabbos is Gezeru Shemo Yitleno V'Avireno Arba Amois B'Shus Rabim. If we allow Hazal to be done, people might end up carrying the flask or the tube that holds the water ash mixture and carry it for Amos in a public thoroughfare. So as to prevent that, we rule no Hazah is done to begin with on Shabbos. Before we continue in the Gemara, you notice we have a slash mark indicating that what follows is a new trend of thought, and on the side we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, a topic heading combined with a structural note, and a diamond appears. There will be several diamonds as we go along the Gemara. These represent Hezberim Loma Lefi Rabbi Eliezer. Why, according to the Tana Rabbi Lezer, the sover that happens to hold elsewhere, Shemachshirei Mitzvah Doichenes HaShabbos, that preparatory stages leading up to the fulfillment of a mitzvah, even though they are preparatory stages or needs, they supersede Shabbos. An example would be if someone, let us say, did not have a lulav, and the first day of Sukkot came out on a Shabbos, where the Torah says that one is to take his lulav and esrog, and he didn't have a lulav. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you could cut a lulav off a tree in order to fulfill the mitzvah of lulav. That's called machshirei mitzvah, the cutting off of the lulav from the tree, or stochen Shabbos, they supersede Shabbos. So if that be the case, loma negen hazor, loma gozar negen hazor, mishum shema yavirnu abramus mishus rabim. Why would he impose some kind of restriction against carrying the tube containing the water? Because why did he rule against sprinkling on a client on Shabbos? Because he might come to carry the tube in a public thoroughfare for Amos. Velavrei, let him carry it. Hosavar de machshir and doichin. Rabbi Lezer, after all, holds that preparatory needs supersede Shabbos. Now, the Gemara. Ula Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, who according to Rabbi Akiva, we saw in the Gemara that he really ruled that it's forbidden to do the Hazah to matire someone for his Pesach. Neavre, let him carry it in the Rishus Rabbim. Toha Omar Rabbi Eliezer, Machshirei Mitzvah Doichanes HaShabbos. Preparatory stages leading up to the fulfillment of Mitzvah too can overrule or supersede Shabbos. The Gemara answers, Amri, Hani Mili, when do we say that? Hecha deGavra Gufei Chazi VeRami Chiyuva Alei. That's when the individual himself is fit for the Mitzvah performance. And that would be a case, for example, where a child needs to be circumcised and they didn't have the knife for cutting the foreskin where the child was. So Rabbi Lezer's shita is, it's mutter to carry the knife through a public thoroughfare because the child is fit to be circumcised. Avol hacha de gavra gufei lo chazi. Here, in the case where a person is tomei mace, he is ritually impure, therefore he is not fit right now for doing the Korban Pesach. Lo rami chiyuva alei. So there is no obligation that hovers over him, that's placed upon him, and therefore there's no need to allow the carrying of the water. He doesn't have an obligation to do the Korban Pesach in the first place because he is right now tomei. You notice we have a bracketed section, and you can see the length of this by using the bracket length indicator. And that would bring us down till four lines from the bottom. On the side, we have a starred note, and it says, Kushas Abaye Shemufi Achrea Sugrayim. The question raised by Abaye after the bracketed section, Mufnes Alha Dinem Alifnei Sugrayim, is directed on that which we just got finished saying, namely, if it's a Gavra Gufei that's not Roy, the person is not Roy, so he's not obligated in doing the mitzvah. He's not obligated in seeing to it that he becomes fit for doing the mitzvah. So following the brackets, if we just skip for a moment to get a gist of the feeling, the flow, the Gemara says, four lines from the bottom, Eisvei Abaye, Oreel Shalomol, an adult that remains uncircumcised, Onush Kores, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. He is going to be guilty of and receive the Kores punishment. V'hohocha, Degabra Gufei Lo Chazi. Here, the person, he's an Oreel. He's not fit for doing the Korban Pesach. V'katani onish kores. And it says that he's going to get the kores punishment. Alma rami chiyuv alei. So you see that there is an obligation that is placed upon him to make himself fit. We couldn't punish someone for not having done the Korban Pesach if he wasn't someone that has an obligation to make himself fit. So what's the point of the question? You have a case where Gavra lo chazi. Notice we dot underline that expression, and above before the brackets we also dot underline Gavra gufei lo chazi. Above we said if the person himself is not fit right now, so there's no obligation upon him to make himself fit. Here we have a person is not fit, and there is an obligation upon him to make himself fit. That will be the question. But in the meantime, we have a bracketed section. Let's go over that now. And we also have markings within the brackets, house markings. On the side under the Mivneh heading, we also indicate this is Betocha Sograim, within the brackets. Houses in two different directions. They represent Machlokas Rabba, the Rava, Mahi Shitas Rabbi Elezer, Legabi Chimum Mayim Avur Yeled Bori. What is the opinion of Rabbi Elezer, the Tana, regarding heating up water for a child that is a newborn infant? He is on his eighth day, and the eighth day comes out, his eighth day of life comes out on a Shabbos. Can you heat up water on Shabbos of Yeled Bori Kedei Lomulo B'Shabbos so as to enable the Mila to take place on Shabbos? The common wisdom is that the child before being circumcised would be bathed in warm water, thereby making him fit to be circumcised. Let's now see the Gemara. Omar Rabba, Ledivrei Rabbi Eliezer. Katan Bori, a child who is healthy, an infant that's healthy, its eighth day of his life, his eighth day birthday is on Shabbos. The child was born on Shabbos, therefore 8 days later is Shabbos. And he's called a Katan Bori. That's a case of a healthy child that even without the water, without the bathing, he's fit to be circumcised. So someone like that, he is fit to be circumcised. Mechamen lo chamen, lahavroso v'lamulo b'shabbos. We will heat up water for him, lahavroso, to make him even more healthy. That Rashi says, lios bori v'chazok, to make him healthy and strong. We'll boil up water for him, in order to circumcise him on Shabbos. Why? Daha chazile, because he is fit. He is fit anyway. Chaton choile ein mechamin lo chamin lavroso v'lomulo. However, for an infant that's sickly, we won't boil up water for him to make him healthy and strong, so as to enable him to be circumcised on that Shabbos. Why? Why will we not do that? Because he is not fit. So following the analysis we had of Rabbi Eliezer just before, this would be the result. Omar Rava. Rava objects. The e borihu, if the child is considered healthy, lama lechamin lavrosa, so why do you need to boil up water in the first place to make him strong? Ela Omar Rava. Akol choylin hein etzel mila. Every child is categorized as sickly with regard to mila. Mila, after all, is a form of an operation. And we say all children are categorized as choylin, echad koton bori ve'echad koton choyle. Whether he is a healthy child or not a healthy child, ein mechamin lo chamin lavrosov lomulo b'shabbos, daha lo chazi. We will not heat up water for him. This is something that should have been done the day before. Should have been done late Friday and keep the water warm. Therefore, we won't warm up the water for him on Shabbos, because right now, lo chazile, he is not fit. And therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer, in such a case, you would have had to have water heated up before Shabbos. So even though Rabbi Eliezer is makil with regard to the concept of machshirei mitzvah doichen as a Shabbos, that's only when you're dealing with someone that himself is obligated. Here, since hakol cholin etzel amila, there isn't an obligation to mal, to circumcise a child without boiled water. And since he's not obligated right now to be circumcised, so the boiling up of the water for him on Shabbos is prohibited. Now, as we saw before, Abaye raises a question. Eisve Abaye. Just to remind ourselves, the explanation that we gave for Rabbi Eliezer, who we know is makil in general with machshiri mitzvah dechen Shabbos, why is it that that Rabbi Eliezer would object to carrying the water through the Rishus HaRabim to bring it to someone that needs the sprinkling? So we saw a rule that if the person himself is not roy, so if he's not roy, he's not fit right now, we don't obligate him to make himself fit. Well, let's see if that's really true. Eisve Abaye, Orel Shalomol Onosh Kores Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. An Orel, in this case, is an adult that hasn't been circumcised. If he doesn't circumcise himself and do the Korban Pesach, he will be Chayev Koreis. Here we have a case. The Gavra Gufei Lo Chazi. This person is not deemed suitable for doing the Korban Pesach. He is an Orel. The Kotoni Onish Koreis. And we say that he will suffer a Koreis punishment if he doesn't do something, if he doesn't mal himself, if he doesn't circumcise himself and then do the Korban Pesach. Alma, what do we see? Rami chiyuv olei. There is an obligation placed upon him to make himself fit. Well, if that's the case, so then how could we have stated a rule or an explanation for Belezer that since a person is not roy, so he has no obligation to make himself roy? That doesn't seem to be the case. Even though the person is not roy, he is obligated to make himself roy. So would that not be reason for justifying carrying the water dalam shus rabim according to Rebbe Lezer that holds machshiri mitzvah dechenes a Shabbos? Omar Rabba. So Rabba answers, Kosova Rabbi Lezer, Ein Shochtin Vizorkin Al Tome Sheretz. This is a long answer, by the way, so that it's hard to explain anything at this point. We have to read through a few lines of Gemara, which take us down three lines from the top of Amud Beis, till we can see some sense. Rabba says that the Tana Rabbi Lezer holds that if a person is Tome Sheretz, he had come into contact on the 14th of Nisan with a dead Sheretz. Sheretz are one of eight creatures that are enumerated by the Torah that in their death they communicate Tumah to those who touch them. So a person who is Tome Sheretz, it's a one-day Tumah, and on the 14th of Nisan he happens to be Tome Sheretz, we will not have him send a sacrifice, a Korban Pesach, to be processed for him, even though that night he will be fit for eating it. So Reb Lezer holds, Ein shochtin v'zorkin al tomei sheretz. V'chol she'ilu biyochid nidche, b'tzibur avdi v'tumah. If, in the case of a private person, he would be nidche, means pushed to do the Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni is a makeup time for private individuals who did not do their Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, so the 14th of Iyar is called Pesach Sheni. So the rule is, if the individual version would be pushed to Pesach Sheni, but Sibor Avdi Betuma, such a phenomenon, if it's on a communal basis, so they would do the Korban even though they are all Tamei. The Chol Milsa de Isa Betzibor, Isa Biyachid. That which applies to the Tzibor applies to the Yachid. The Chol Milsa de Lesa Betzibor, if it doesn't apply to the public, Lesa Biyachid. It doesn't apply to the private individual either. Now that is not clear. The Gemara explains. And we used a bow tie shape to highlight the topics. Arelus versus Tuma. Arelus, in the case of uncircumcised men, the ikulei tzibur arelim ninu. Imagine the whole tzibur are uncircumcised. Amrinon lehu, we would tell the entire tzibur, and it's on the 14th of Nisan, we would tell them, kumu maholu nafshachu, you better arise and circumcise yourselves, the avidi pischa, and thereby ready yourself, make yourself fit for doing the Korban Pesach. Yachid nami amrinon le kum mohu v'yavid pischa. Same thing with regard to a private person who hasn't circumcised himself. We would say, get up and circumcise yourself, and thereby do the Korban Pesach. V'lo mohil v'yavid pischa. If he doesn't arise and circumcise himself and do the Korban Pesach, onush kores. He deserves the kores penalty. Tuma, on the other hand, when it comes to defilement, the kulei tzibur tamein ninu, we know this, that's called tuma hutra b'tzibur, where the whole tzibur, the whole community is tamei. So lo modinon alayu elo avdi b'tuma. We don't modinon is to sprinkle the poraduma water. We don't sprinkle the poraduma on them. Rather, they have a heter to do it b'tuma. So yochid nami poter. So where the tzibur doesn't have to do something, and as we just said, they don't have to do the sprinkling, therefore the private person will be exempt. That having been said, so we understand why Rabbi Eliezer tells you that you cannot carry the water on Shabbos for the purpose of enabling him to do the Korban Pesach, simply because he is exempt from doing the Korban Pesach, being that a tzibur under such circumstances wouldn't have the sprinkling done on them either. They would do it right then and there because of tumah hutra b'tzibur. So the private person is exempt. We should point out that the example of Ein Shochtin V'zorkin al Tomei Sheretz, the case of Tomei Sheretz and the case of a person who was Tomei Meis but is on his seventh day, they are similar in the sense that they will become, or they exit their Tumah upon Shkia Secham, upon sundown. It's a one-day Tumah. The Gemara raises a question, though. Meisvei. we will basically be challenging the formula that we were given, that something that doesn't exist by the public, so the private person will be exempt. We're going to check that out now with this long question. Meisvei. Yochol lo yehe onish kores elashoya tor v'shaloya b'derech rechoka. Could it be that only people that were tohor or were nearby the Beis HaMikdash and didn't do the Korban Pesach, that only they would be chayav kores? What about Orel, v'tamei sheretz, u'shar kol hatmeim minayin? What about these other kinds of problems? Someone who's tamei sheretz and doesn't mitire himself, or other tamei'im, from where do we know that if they don't fix themselves, they don't purify themselves, they will be chayav kores? Talmud lomar, v'ho'ish. So from this word, v'ho'ish, found in the pasuk, we learn to include all of these cases as well, that as being chayav b'kores. Midukamahadir, and the fact that this source is seeking out, mahadir is to seek out, atomei sheretz, Kosovar, it must be that the approach to the Tomei Sheretz is Ein Shochtin V'Zorkin Al Tomei Sheretz. We wouldn't, on our own, take care of his sacrifices. We wouldn't allow him to send in his sacrifice for us to do the Shechita and the Zrikas Adam. Rather, he himself has to immerse himself in the mikveh and make himself ready. And we explain here, in the brackets, even though if we skip the brackets it'll be easier, or just a bit easier, we would skip and say, Alma, what do we see from this? Afagav de lo chozi, even though the person is not fit, he's ain't shochten v'zorken al tomei sheretz, he's not fit to have the Korban Pesach done, Ram yochiyu v'alei, there is an obligation upon him to make himself ready. There's an obligation upon him to do the Korban Pesach. He has to do something, of course, he has to purify himself. The afagav the lesse b'tzibur, even though the tzibur who would be tamei wouldn't have to do anything. Isay b'yochid. The yochid does have to do something. So the same thing we would say before with regard to the yochid, even though the tzibur would do it b'tumas meis, the yochid in the same case would have to have hazor done. And then the question comes back, if the yochid needs to have the hazor done because of this obligation upon him, so why does Rabbi Lezer not allow the Hazor to be Doicha Shabbos? What fear is there if it's coming to carry Rishus Rabbim? Let him carry it in the Rishus Rabbim. He needs it. We skip the bracketed section. Let's go over this Gemara again. We said that the Tana that seeks a Pasuk, the Ha'ish, to include a Tomei Sheretz as being Chayav Kores, it must be that he's a kind of person that wouldn't be able to send his korban in. Because if he, the Gemara says in the brackets, the ish shochta v'zorken al tomei sheretz, if someone who is a tomei sheretz sends his korban in to the Beis HaMikdash to be processed, and it's blood sprinkled for the sake of completing the korban properly, if that were so, that a tomei sheretz sends his korbanos in, lama li lahaduri ole, why do we need an extra pasuk to include him as chayav kores? Hainu tori, we have the same din, the same legal status as a person who's literally tor. And he is already mentioned in the resha of this source. There's no need to seek out to include someone that's parallel to a person tor. Just like a person that's tor has someone will process his korban, so to a person that's tomei sheretz, if you held shochten v'zorken al tomei sheretz, his korban would be processed by someone else. So it must be that the tomei sheretz is ein shochten v'zorken al tomei sheretz. Therefore, he's someone that needs a special pasuk to include him in a chiyuv kores. So what are we saying? We have a person that's lo chazi, he's not fit, and yet we see that he's chayav kores. It means he's obligated to make himself fit. So why not say the same thing with regard to the hazor situation, where even though the tzibor, if they were all tamei, would not need to have hazor done, in the private situation, nevertheless, he will be obligated to make himself tohor. After all said and done, the question simply is, why does Rabbi Lezer forbid the carrying of the Mei Por Aduma on Shabbos? Elo Omar Rava, Kosover Belezer, Shochtin Vizorkin Al Tome Sheretz, Fuadin Lutome Meis Bishvi Shalo. Rabbi Lezer, in fact, holds that someone who is Tomei Sheretz, or he is Tomei on the seventh day of his Tumas Meis period, and we said this earlier, that someone on the seventh day, it's his last day of his Tumas Meis period, and he, after having had the water sprinkled him on the third day of his clean days, he has to observe a period, since his Tumas Meis, since his contact with the Tumi, experiences a Shavua, a week, where he stays Tumei free from Tumas Meis, and the third day, and the last day of that 7 day period, he has Pora Duma water sprinkled upon him. So, the Rava is presenting Rebbe Lezer as holding that someone who is either Tomei Sheretz, or he is a Tomei Meis, but on his last day, he can send his Korban Pesach in to be processed and taken care of. Hazal Lamai. At this point, then, why would a Tomei Meis B'Shvishlo need to be sprinkled on that seventh day? Why does he need the Paraduma water? La'achila, to make him able to eat that night from the Korban Pesach. Yeah, well, achilas p'sachim lo makva. The eating of the Pesach is not a binding action with regard to the fulfillment of the Korban Pesach mitzvah. And therefore, it's not doche Shabbos. Omele Rav Ado bar Abo l'Rava. Im kein, nimtza Pesach nishchat shelo l'ochlov. Well, then you're going to have a Korban Pesach that's shechted for someone who can't eat from it. If you're going to say that he doesn't have the Hazor done, because the whole purpose of the Hazor is to get enable him to eat from it, so now you have a Korban Pesach that's shechted shelo l'ochlov, which is one of the puzzling factors. Amalei, so Rava answers, the concept of shelo l'ochlov, that means when the person is inherently incapable of eating. For example, l'choyle u'lezokein d'lo chazi, these are people that are objectively unable to eat, and therefore you cannot shecht the Korban Pesach with them in mind to be the beneficiaries of the Korban Pesach. Avol, hi, mechsechosi, a person who's tomei meis on his seventh day, objectively he can eat the Korban Pesach. Tekuni hu delo miskan, he's simply lacking a completion element that gives him license to eat from it, but he's not inherently incapable. So as a result of that, this is not a problem of shechting a Pesach shelo l'ochlov. He is considered ochlov, just that he has a minor detail that's preventing him from eating. That doesn't render the Korban Pesach posel on the grounds of shelo l'ochlov. Klal Omar Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva stated as a rule in the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek. And this is something that you can see on Samach Vov Omen Aleph, and his rule being anything that could have been taken care of before Shabbos, so you cannot do it on Shabbos. However, as opposed to Shechita, for example, of the Korban Pesach, the time for the Shechita is the 14th in the afternoon of Nisan, and Shechita can't be done earlier than that. So Shechita, which is impossible to be done before Shabbos, it is Doche Shabbos. That's Rabbi Akiva's approach to these matters. The Gemara, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, Halacha k'Rabbi Akiva. The Halacha follows Rabbi Akiva, things that you could have taken care of before Shabbos, so you can't do them on Shabbos. Utanan ami gabi mila ki hai gavno. And we have this ruling also with regard to Bris Mila. Klal Omar Rabbi Akiva. Kol melacha she'efshel asos amir of Shabbos, any constructive activity that could have been taken care of on Friday, eino doiches a Shabbos. And we had an example of this earlier in today's shiur, the heating up of the water for bathing the child, that could have been taken care of erev Shabbos. There's no advantage per se of boiling up water on Shabbos itself. So it could have been taken care of before Shabbos. Mila, the actual cutting of the foreskin, she'ef shalasosim erev Shabbos, that couldn't have been done erev Shabbos. The erev Shabbos would have, it was the seventh day of the child's life, and that's not the time for bris mila. Therefore, since Shabbos is the time for doing it, and it couldn't have been done before, doiche es ha Shabbos. The Omar Rabbi Yehuda Omar Rav, number 2, this is the second time Rabbi Yehuda Omar Rav says, Halacha k'Rabbi Akiva. He paskins by the case of Mila, like Rabbi Akiva. So what we have is Rabbi Akiva's principle applying, being stated as a general rule, and Rabbi Yehuda Omar Rav ruling like Rabbi Akiva in the context of the Korban Pesach, and his ruling like that in the context of Mila. Utsricha. The Gemara says, I need both Piske Halacha of Rabbi Omar Rav, the Ashminen Gabi Pesach. And we should point out, by the way, that when you have a tsricha in the Gemara, very often it's a long point. And the point being, I need both Piske Halacha. And structurally, we're calling this a long point. And also, marking-wise, you see the E Ashmin and a squiggle underline here and a few lines later. Meaning that had Rav Yudam Arav taught the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva in one context, I wouldn't have been able to figure out that that's the case in the other context. So the Gemara explains, the E Ashmin and Gabi Pesach, had we told you that halacha follows Rabbi Akiva with regard to the Korban Pesach, Hosam Hu, the Machshir Mitzvah Lodochu Shabbos, there, so we won't allow the preparatory stages to supersede Shabbos. Mishum delo nichrusu alei shloshes rei brisos, because regarding the Korban Pesach, so you don't have the reference to the term bris, covenant, stated 13 times in the context of the bris milah. Avol Mila, but when it comes to circumcision, and you look in the Torah regarding the mitzvah of Mila, the Nichru Soleil Shloshes Rei Brisos, the Torah makes reference to a covenant between the Almighty and the people of Israel, or Avram Avinu and his descendants. Reference to that covenant is made 13 times. So Ema Litchi, I would say, wow, that's really must be a cornerstone type commandment, and therefore, even if you could have taken care of the preparatory stages before Shabbos, do them on Shabbos anyway. V'yashminen Mila, and had we been taught that the rule of Rabbi Akiva with regard to Mila, Hosam Hu Demachshire Mitzvah Lo Dochu Shabbos, there we would say the preparatory stages that could have been done before Shabbos are not to be done on Shabbos. Deleka Kores, there is no immediate Kores for a person who doesn't get circumcised on that particular day. In other words, if a baby on his eighth day is not circumcised, he can be circumcised on the next day, and there's no kores punishment imposed. Avol Pesach diko kores, but the Korban Pesach, if a person doesn't do the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan when he could have done it and just doesn't do it, there is kores. It's a one-day thing. It's if you bang, you get the kores punishment. So, regarding the Pesach, if you that has kores associated with it, eimo litchi. Maybe we should do the machshir mitzvah, even if you could have done them erev Shabbos, do them on Shabbos, so as to save the person from the kores. Tzricho, therefore I have to be told, Rabbi Akiva's rule applies to Pesach as well as to Mila. And at this point, the Gemara, the Mishnah focuses, introduces a new topic, and that's the Korban Chagiga. In this case, we're going to refer to it as the Chagigas Yud Dalet. That's the Korban Chagiga that is brought along with a Korban Pesach. And in the context of that which we were learning before, things that are doche and not doche Shabbos, so you'll see the connection between this Mishnah and that which we learned before. The Mishnah says, Emosai mevi chagiga imo. When is a korban chagiga? Korban chagiga essentially is a korban shlomim. When is it brought together with the korban pesach on the 14th of Nisan? Bizman shehu ba b'chol b'tar v'muat. That's when the korban pesach, which is brought on the 14th. It happens to be a weekday, 14th of Nisan, Betara, and the Korban Pesach is being done in a state of public purity, Uvemuat, and that means where the meat available in the Korban Pesach is little with regard to the large number of people that have joined up with it. And there's an idea that the Korban Pesach is not supposed to be eaten in a state of famish, in a famished state, but rather after a person is already fairly sated. After he's fairly sated, he eats the Korban Pesach at the end. So if you have very few people, if you have very little meat for the Korban Pesach, people are not going to be sated from the Korban Pesach. So they need other meat to lead up to being sated. And therefore, that's when you'll bring a Korban Chagiga. Ubizman she'u ba'ba Shabbos. However, when the 14th of Nisan comes out on Shabbos, b'meruba, and there is a lot of meat, of Korban Pesach meat for people, ubetuma, or the tzibor is tomei meis, ein mevien imo Chagiga. Then the Korban Chagiga is not brought. Chagiga hoisaba minatzon uminabokar minakvosim uminoizim minazchorim uminanekevos. The animal brought as this korban chagiga can be brought from all kosher variety animals, kosher variety domesticated animals, namely sheep, goats, and cows. As the source enumerates, it mentions minatzon uminabokar, and then the term kvosim and izim is really an explanation of what tzon is, as well as the gender not making a difference, hence Zechorim and Akevis. The Mishnah also says, V'necheles l'shnei yom v'laylecho, that Korban Chagiga, as opposed to the Korban Pesach, Korban Pesach is eaten only that night, the night of the 15th, leading into what we call the Seder night. The Korban Chagiga, on the other hand, would be something that could be eaten on the 14th daytime, and the 15th daytime, and the intervening night. The Gemara asks, "My Tana de Kotoni Chagiga." What was taught that prompted the Mishnah to all of a sudden bring in the example of the Korban Chagiga? What's the connection between this Mishnah and that which we saw earlier? The Gemara answers, "Tana, the Mishnah had mentioned in the first Mishnah of this Masechta on Daf Samach Amud Beis, Tana Harkavosav Avoso Delo Dochi Shabbos." It was mentioned by the Tanakama that carrying the Korban Pesach and bringing it from outside the Tchum do not supersede Shabbos. V'katoni nami chagiga de lo dachi Shabbos. And in that spirit, the chagiga also, this Korban chagiga also is not brought on Shabbos. V'hochi ko'omar, emosai mevien imo chagiga, when is the Korban Chagiga brought as an accompaniment to the Korban Pesach? Bizman Shehu, when the Korban Pesach is bo b'chol, b'tara uv'muad. When the Korban, when it's a weekday, when the people are tohor, and when there is little Korban Pesach meat available per person. Omer Avashi, Shma Mino. From this we conclude Chagigas Arbo Asar Lav Chovohi. This Korban Chagiga is not something that we would classify as obligatory. The Isal Kadait the Chovohi, if it was something that was obligatory, Tesi B'Shabbos, V'Tesi B'Meruba, V'Tesi B'Tuma, it would have to be brought then on Shabbos because that's its time for being brought. It would be brought even if there is a lot of meat available in the Korban Pesach per person, and it should be brought even if the people are tomei. The Gemara asks, "Uva muat mihu mai taimo asya?" When there is little Korban Pesach meat per person, so why do we bring this Korban Chagiga? Kedisanya, and as we are taught in the following Tanaic source, "Chagiga habo ima Pesach necheles tchila." When a Korban Chagiga is brought together with the Korban Pesach, so the Korban Chagiga is eaten first, kedei she'ei Pesach nechal al hasovas, that when you're eating the Korban Pesach, you're eating it not out of a state of ravenousness or hunger, but you are fairly satisfied. Rashi at the top says, al hasovashu nehenin b'achiloso v'techoshev lahen. A very interesting, insightful Rashi that there's a concept of hanoah from eating, which seems to go beyond the type of eating that one does to sustain himself. So that if one is hungry and he's eating to remove the hunger, that wouldn't be called hanoah. That would be called more of a basic human need. However, once you reach a certain level of called satisfaction, that you're not hungry anymore, that eating is called eating out of hano, it would seem from this Rashi. And that is what we want, that's how we want you to be eating the Korban Pesach. And that creates a certain sense of importance or significance, chashivas, to the Korban Pesach. So that's the reason why the Korban Chagiga is brought in the event that you have what's called muat, very little Korban Pesach per person. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.